The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
What was the show, the cartoon with like Muttley and all of the Hanna-Barbera characters? Whatever that music is plays in my head every time Matt Nagy talks.
Wacky Races?
Wacky Races!
That goes to the report that was out there. You know, there's been some false stuff going on. That couldn't be furthest from the truth. Things can be said and are said and can be a little bit blown out of proportion. On Fridays, you don't have post-practice meetings. Well, that was a Friday practice for us on that Tuesday. So on the schedule, it had post-practice meetings, which was an error. It was not supposed to be on the schedule.
It was there, but that was a mistake. Obviously, someone had written it there. I don't know who did, but whoever's in charge of writing the schedule, we're going to fire that person immediately. Because it's a Thursday, and that morphs into a Friday, and then nobody gets fired.
I never heard any of that.
I haven't heard any of that.
I did not see it. I totally missed it. I was looking down when I heard about it.
I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it.
But what I did hear is what it looked like.
But what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
Again, I still haven't seen it, but from what I heard, it's not good.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
The community's excitement around our football team.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Everything is happening right now. We have the Bears' insanity and the Bulls with an exciting win. Baseball's going crazy ahead of everything stopping, and I don't know what the hell college football is right now. We're going to make some sense of all of it. And look who's back. The show can be normal and good again because Layla is here.
I'm pretty sure sports happened regardless.
Yeah, nobody cares about sports. This is radio, damn it.
Yeah, somebody was like, when are you coming back? And I'm like, can I visit my family? Like,
no.
You get the show for free.
No. No family. No life. No nothing. You must have nothing but sports thoughts.
Literally nothing happened in Chicago. Nothing changed.
Right. Correct.
Nothing. Correct. The White Sox? Where are y'all at? Cubs? Bears? Okay.
You didn't miss anything. You really didn't.
It's annoying.
That, by the way, I want that Santa Ana wind power outage during Bears games.
How about that?
That's awesome. You're so lucky.
It was not awesome. I wanted to watch the game.
No, you didn't.
I did. Mostly no. Just to hear my dad commentate about it.
You should have recorded that.
Instead, we watched the Packers game in its entirety. His big comment about the Bears-Lions game was, two loser teams.
That's your headline. That's it. That's all you need to know.
He's not wrong.
And the outcome didn't change any bit of that. As we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Pete Futek at 940, Jason Goff in studio at 10.
That's the cheer.
Yeah. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk football. We'll talk to Sage Rosenfels at 11 and Paul Charchi at 11:25 and follow everything that goes on. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That listener line, 312-644-6767. You want to email Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. Feel free. And you can go to Twitter if you want. That's at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Your text, go to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Download the Odyssey app to stream the score on your mobile devices. We thank Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell for directing the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. They moderate the chat there as well. Rick Camp is our executive producer. Mike Rankin, our associate producer and sound man. Ray Diaz, the executioner, doing all sorts of things to help us out. Real quick, before we get into the sportsy stuff, I just want to let you know what we are doing today. We've done this the last couple years, and we are so fortunate, again, here on Giving Tuesday, to have the opportunity to help kids who have cancer and leukemia by sending them to camp. And as you know, I have worked very closely with Camp One Step for, 15 years now or more, and I've been proud to serve on the board for the last decade and as vice chairman of the organization for the last few years. It's a very special day for us, and it's a huge thank you to the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation. We got $25,000 in matching funds today, and that means right now, you give five, it turns into 10. You give 10, it turns into 20. You give 100, it turns into 200. It costs Camp One Step about $1,000 to send a child to a week of in-person camp, at $500 to provide a virtual program to a camper. And we want to do everything we can do to help every one of our potential campers. We are a largely volunteer-based organization with the highest rating possible on Charity Navigator. We have 11 free in-person programs. We've already completed 8 virtual programs in 2021, and we're on track to provide 1,000 camperships this year, the most in history. More than half of our campers we serve are from Illinois, and Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital is our largest local healthcare organization that refers kids and families to Camp One Step. So we're all working together on this one. Anything you can do is immensely, immensely appreciated. So what we're going to do today, score.givesmart.com, score.givesmart.com, or text SCORE to 76278. Text SCORE to 76278 with your donation to help local children diagnosed with cancer. And with the match, your gift will be doubled. Anything you can do is immensely, immensely appreciated on this Giving Tuesday. So thank you, and look forward to updating everybody on how we're doing toward that matching deal today. So thanks in advance for anything possible that you can do. Maybe instead of that latte today, you take the $5 or $6 and you turn it into 10 or 12 with that kind of donation. So awesome. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Fun?
Yeah.
Sleep?
Yeah, that was the most. I caught up on a lot of good sleep.
Good.
That's what it is.
Eat a lot and sleep a lot, and you're better for it.
Yeah, I'm going to work out a lot. No, I was just mostly happy to see family who I really miss, because living across the country from your family who lives across the country from each other is not fun. So when people ask me where I am, that's usually where I go.
And you've got an affinity for and a history in college athletics, where a lot of this stuff hits the fabric of your sports being in a way that I think people need to appreciate too.
It was an everyday job for the entire first half of my career. It wasn't just 7 years. It was more than that. Just going back to covering, being at a school where I cover college football and Division I, and then that's just the fabric of your being. The Lincoln Riley news was big. I was in Southern California when that happened, and that was pretty surprising. But to me, it was a no-brainer why I left. He doesn't want to be a coach in the SEC.
They want that smoke.
Oklahoma has enjoyed a lot of luxury, and I know we're going to talk to Pete Futak about this, for being outside of the SEC, especially before the college football playoff was instated. They're always in the conversation. They're always one of the teams you start with when it comes to the top 15 in NCAA football, just a matter of where based on their quarterback's age. And to me, that was a no-brainer. Who gets that job is another discussion. But then also, what happened yesterday, that's the game changer.
Well, I also like the fact that it's not like it used to be when a coach could be like, wow, look at all these players I'm inheriting. That's a really attractive job because I'm going to have all these scholarship players. It's not like that anymore. Because now some of the scholarship players are like, I don't want to play for you. I'd like to play somewhere else. I'd like to have a little more agency in my semi-professional livelihood here.
Football is still more stable than basketball in that respect. But Baker Mayfield is a pretty good example of the transfer portal working out, where he was playing for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, who I'm sure is another name is going to get bannered
about. Has already. It's already been dragged in there.
Yeah, he's enjoying a lovely career right now in the NFL, where his sole focus is the Chicago Bears. And I'm like,
really?
All right, so one dude's focus is the Bears this week. Sole focus. But that the names that we're going to hear, and we can joke about it, that's always the part that makes me laugh a lot.
There's just so many conversations going on right now between agents and coaches and significant others and families and everybody involved, because when this starts to happen, everybody gets paid, and all the wealthy boosters, all these boosters who've made an incredible fortune on the pandemic. If you've looked at the macroeconomic shifting of wealth toward the 1%, and who has made incredible, after decrying biblical losses and all that. If you actually look at what's happened to the ultra wealthy during the pandemic, those dollars, you talk about the quote unquote job creators. If the job that you're creating is football coach, it's the one time where that's actually telling the truth and not some horrible Orwellian oxymoron.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're doing two football coaches per team, though. There's still the same amount of football coaches per team.
But teams are paying more than one at the same time.
I'm saying head coach. Yes. Obviously, they add a lot of different jobs. Yeah. Like Alabama has a director of player personnel. Exactly.
Whatever
that's
means.
A GM yeah. of a college football team. There is a huge wealth transfer. Shout out to what's left of the middle class. Anybody
hello?
Left?
Hello, last one, turn out the lights.
Yeah,
please.
But yep. I do laugh, and Pat Forty did an excellent job of illustrating this. College football athletic departments, who said they didn't have any money, spending like this, is a bad look.
Pete Futek's going to help us make sense of all of it next on The Score.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
Okay, then. Well, he left himself an out there. We can kind of surmise what actually happened. Sometimes that check ends up in your lap, and you get 10 years and $95 million. You get the Mel Tucker deal, and you head on down to Cajun country and enjoy a little bit spicier life.
That's a nice way of putting it. I also like the picture you paint of not just Brian Kelly being in Louisiana trying to digest gumbo, but I don't know if they'll take too kindly to like the suit crowd there too. I'll be interested to see how he goes about the recruiting process.
You know how you manage a cultural fit that might be a bit off? Win.
Oh yeah.
And that takes care of absolutely everything. Here to figure out what's happening in college sports is the guy who lives for this kind of craziness, frankly, Pete Futek. He's on Twitter at Pete Futek. He of collegefootballnews.com on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He's also on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. If he looks like he's been up all night, it's probably because he's been fielding phone calls and writing and enjoying reveling in his whimsy. Pete, I ask this question honestly. What the hell is happening?
It's an unremarkable hire. I'm sorry I have to do that. It's okay. I guess it's if you're LSU. I mean, you talked about kind of the fish out of water fit. Well, Nick Saban wasn't exactly, you know, Mr. Gumbo Shrimp when he went down there from Michigan State. But that's asking a lot for Brian Kelly to be Nick Saban. But all right, I guess it's a next gig up. But the thing about it is, whoever Notre Dame gets is probably going to be the more inspired hire. I mean, obviously Brian Kelly's been great. I mean, you're all-time winning at Notre Dame coach. He's been to a couple of college football playoffs, a BCS championship. I don't know why anybody would want that gig. I mean, if you're at that stage in your life, and I'm actually going on with guys in Baton Rouge and a good-natured fight we've been having for the next several weeks where I keep arguing that the USC job was better because you can't lose at LSU. That place is expecting a national championship now. And if you go 10-2, you're a failure. Who wants to live like that? Who wants to beat their head against that wall? Apparently Brian Kelly does. But now the fun part about the Notre Dame gig is you can say any name and you're kind of not wrong. It's a joke I've had for years because it actually happened in an anecdote when the Texas job came open after Mack Brown. There was a guy we were talking to who's like, well, we're just going to get a Harbaugh. You know, like they thought they could get Mike Tomlin. All these openings think they can get anybody they want. Notre Dame can actually get anybody that think about that job. Doesn't mean they can get Urban Meyer or get Dabo, but you're not crazy to think that you can, that these guys are at least going to think about it for a second and be like, the Notre Dame job, kind of like the Yankees gig, the Cubs gig. the Dallas Cowboys job, you know, the host of Price is Right. I mean, you know, this is one of those big jobs that everybody sort of wants if you're in that business.
But I'm going to ask this question of you, Pete, because it's something that I was thinking about before the show today. That used to be the end-all, be-all job because of how it was set up. Notre Dame with their own TV deal, being independent, having the schedule that was covetable. And I feel like this is just another piece of proof that we have that whether it's Lincoln Riley leaving because of what's coming down the pike for Oklahoma or Brian Kelly going to LSU, that the SEC is further becoming the driver as to what is going on in college football. It's the SEC and then it's everybody else. And I worry that Notre Dame might be a part of that based on this decision alone.
And the Big Ten. It's the SEC and the Big Ten, and Notre Dame is certainly a part of that mix. I mean, just look, I mean, everyone, it's the Cincinnati argument of the moment where, you know, oh, why does the SEC get all the love? Well, what do you think? Because the SEC and the Big Ten take up something insane like 50% of every NFL draft. They have all the money, the talent, the deals, the, you know, the everything that's involved in college football. Now, with Lincoln Riley going to USC, that changes the game for the Pac-12 and ups its profile. The Big 12 is still alive. ACC is still all right. But you're right. Notre Dame is still there. The Notre Dame gig, more than anything else, is it, you know, the premier job? Is it USC? No. Is it, you know, some of these other jobs? Not necessarily money-wise. But it's that gig that every coach has a dad who kind of in the Ned Beatty voice, you know, my boy's coaching at Notre Dame, everyone. Like, that's the one that kind of gets to every one of these coaches. But look, Notre Dame's been to the college football playoff a couple of times. They could go this year. It's the place you could absolutely win at. And give Brian Kelly all the credit. He proved that you can absolutely win at Notre Dame. I've never faulted him for not being able to take that next step. I mean, look, you hit that Alabama ceiling. That's just, you know, bad luck against Alabama or Clemson one year. You're talking about the teams that actually dominated and won national championships. If you happen to be just behind that, you're doing something all right. So he did a great, great job there. And that's the expectation for Notre Dame, is to do what Brian Kelly did, which was a whole heck of a lot, and take it one step further.
Everybody's using what Kelly said last week, rightfully so, as the quote surrounding this until he speaks publicly. I know he talked to his team at 7 this morning or whoever wanted to go to that meeting. But I want to go back to September when he said publicly, when he had the chance to pass the all-time win record, he said, I still haven't won a national title. And I think that that's something that sat with him and also motivated his decision. Is he closer, in your opinion, to a national title at LSU than he was at Notre Dame?
Yeah, because at the very least, the expectations are there. You have the infrastructure there. You have the recruiting there. And you have a place where Ed Orgeron did win a national championship. Les Miles won a national title. Nick Saban won a national title. So for good and for bad, it's you're going into a place that's demanding a national championship because that's what the fan base thinks. They think that job is the best because you can have that gig. Now, to your point about the SEC, again, if you're in a certain stage, you're like, look, Dan Mullen last year at this time was something like 25-6 at Florida. He had two top six finishes, and they just were about to take Alabama right down to the wire, that epic Alabama team. And Florida was right in the mix of the college football playoff hunt, and now he can't coach anymore. Now he's not good at coaching. He's gone. That's it. You know, Jimbo Fisher had Texas A&M this close to getting the college football playoff last year. Now he stinks, can't coach, and he's gone. Ed Orgeron wins the, you know, epic national championship 2 years ago. Gone. Like, you can't lose in the SEC. And so, look, if you want that pressure, it takes a certain guy to be able to handle that. And, look, Brian Kelly's taking that on now.
We keep hearing the name Urban Meyer brought up because it's what you do. At what point is his history now too much for Notre Dame or for anybody? At what point is his sort of exile in the NFL due to the mishandling of the Zach Smith situation, to put it somewhat kindly, all the arrests at Florida? None of that means anything?
Nothing. Absolutely not. Look, nothing. I mean, we could talk about the Brian Kelly stuff all day and how much that meant at LSU. I mean, that's actually more damning in so many ways.
Correct.
But look, he is the thing with the video and the girl in the bar. I mean, that's silly.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the more serious criminal stuff.
No, it's certainly a part of it. But if Urban said, you know what, I really want the Notre Dame job, he'd be the Notre Dame head coach. He's still the one guy who has that possibility of being the crossover. The problem with all the pro coaches people want to bring up, whether it is, you know, Jim Harbaugh, even John Harbaugh to this point, any of these guys, even Mike Tomlin isn't a crazy call. I mean, all these guys, you're not talking about any option off the table for this Notre Dame job. The thing about Urban, though, is he's tasted the life of the pro coach. Like, if these pro guys, do you really want to dive in and start calling, you know, children again and all the time, which is what you have to do and do all the grunt work? It's kind of why, you know, getting an NFL coach to be an idea for one of these jobs, do they want to do all the work? As it turns out, not a lot of them really do. You know, Charlie Weiss was and is a great coach in terms of, you know, his decided schematic advantage. Did he want to do all the work needed to be on the phone and text and all the things you got to do to get the talent in? It takes a certain kind of coach and a certain kind of guy to want to do that. That's why a guy like Marcus Freeman, who has never coached before, everyone loves him, brilliant recruiter, all the energy in the world. PJ Fleck, just a ball of fire, 100 miles an hour, always recruiting. It takes a certain type of guy at this point, if you're not a made man like a Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly, to want to dive into this gig. And in Notre Dame, you got to not only always be recruiting, but you have to always be recruiting nationally. And it's a little bit tougher of a gig in that respect. And Brian Kelly, to his credit, again, was able to do it. He was able to get guys in there who fit. There are a lot of NFL talent flowing through South Bend, and he's proved that you can do it.
Well, and it goes back to what we just saw with the USC job, where we float out all these really glamorous names. I thought Mike Tomlin did do the best job, as Brian Kelly pointed out. The difference is Tomlin actually believed what he was saying. And in this case, we see the same thing. It's a big college football program, but it's Lincoln Riley. Is it the biggest coaching name, one of them, in college football? I say he's top 10, but he's not like the 1, 2, 3. And so to me, I wonder if it's as simple as going back again to the former Cincinnati head coach for Notre Dame, mentioning the names you already mentioned, which I think are excellent ones. You know, I would love the idea of Marcus Freeman being that guy, a fresh name that nobody's heard of that would fit into that role really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Luke Fickell's probably the guy. And that's the next step up gig. That's the one that you can kind of see, okay, look what he did at Cincinnati. Now, look, it worked with Brian Kelly, who was the Cincinnati head coach, and he came in and was obviously great. Fickell's that next guy up. He's probably the odds-on favorite to do this. And with Lincoln Riley, you're right. You know, there's Nick Saban, and there's Dabo, and there's even Urban, but those are the three giant names. Lincoln Riley was right there. That he proved my point for me that the USC job was the best overall mix of great program. You can win at great expectations, but yet not the same sort of insane expectations that there would be at an LSU, where you got to beat your head against that Alabama wall. Like, all right, Brian Kelly went to LSU. Doesn't mean Alabama's going to stop. I mean, this doesn't mean that all of a sudden Lane Kiffin. Actually, bring him up. Lane Kiffin is actually the guy who I think would be brilliant for this job, was going to be brilliant if he went back to USC, but he's just Lane Kiffin. So there's just too much there. But, yeah, Lincoln Riley at USC, that's the one that's energized an entire conference. He's the one, it's like, okay, we got the Oklahoma head coach, the guy who was able to bring that excitement, that team. You know, you had the guys, you know, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. You're bringing that. The recruiting's going to recruit itself. It just upped the overall Pac-12 profile. So that's the big guy in this whole puzzle here, especially considering James Franklin was locked down, Mel Tucker was locked down. But yes, now the next guy up for Notre Dame, they're going to want an A-list of A-list guy too.
30 seconds or less. Dan Wolkin of USA Today said the fact that Brian Kelly would leave a team in contention for the playoff like this is evidence of this going to now a higher level. He's positing that the sport might be broken, comparing this to, say, before the NFL conference finals, that Bill Belichick were to be lured by extra money to a different NFL team, saying this is something that has now gone, at least in his idea, too far. Agree, disagree?
You're not joking. I actually did wake up 17. Has he actually left? Is he actually done the thing where if they don't go to the college football playoffs, or he wouldn't coach in a bowl game, but Has he actually said that I'm not going to coach if he gets in the college football playoff? I haven't seen that yet. But look, there's no good timing on this. There just isn't. You know, even for Luke Fickell. I mean, that's why I don't think you're going to hear that name come up until at least, you know, Saturday night, until Sunday morning when we figure out who's going to be in the college football playoff. But yes, until that happens, but this is always going to happen. Remember the classic Les Miles deal where he was off to the Michigan job and all of a sudden LSU got in the BCS championship and then they went with Rich Rodriguez. So this has happened. This has not stopped. It's not a new thing for college football.
Fair enough. I know you're busy. We'll let you get back to it. Pete Futek, thanks as always.
Later, guys.
Thanks, Pete.
Next up, a handsome and intelligent in-studio guest who talks about the Bulls in large part for a living is going to do so with us. Jason Goff is here, and he's going to join us on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.